You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Happy Monday. You can be a part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. We're so efficient. We are here like minutes ready go.
The soundboard was set 3 full minutes before this show. It's unheard of.
That's how we do it. And another great lineup as well today. It's Monday. That means Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get all into it with Harvey. Looking forward to that conversation. And lots of issues, lots of things going on around the state of Wisconsin. We'll get to that as well. But we got to start out, man. It's Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. And I got to tell you, it took me a little bit to get moving today. The mind was just slow. And it wasn't
Were you feeling any aches?
I wasn't out late. Some people were. Yeah.
Some people were.
I saw a headline. Before we get to the headline, watching the game last night, and I was at a house party, and everybody, including me, as we first got there, were taking a poll. What do people think? Who do you want to win? And everybody was rooting for the Eagle, for the underdog. Oh, it's like, oh, the Eagles are winning. We don't want KC to take the Green Bay Packers, 3 in a row Super Bowl. So as they got over, we're hanging out, and I was like, well, everyone's rooting for the same team. That's no fun. I'll take $20 on Kansas City. Well, this is a friendly bet for some folks. It was a hangout, and I'll root against them. So every time, and it was, if you watched the game, the Eagles just manhandled. It was not even close. So there wasn't a whole lot for me to cheer against. Maybe a penalty here and there. It felt a lot like rooting for the Lions over the years. So, I'm used to rooting for and betting on the losers. Mm-hmm. So
you had to be a contrarian, yes, as is your nature. You had to go against
it's a little,
it.
Gotta have a little fun,
Absolutely.
No trash talking if everyone's rooting for the
but
same team.
But you lost
team.
A little money, too. Nah.
Well, the good news is I bugged out before the end of the game. So
you didn't have to see it.
That's right. I'll pay you next time I see you. but it was good fun. Thank you, Canadian Rob, for hosting. I had a lot of fun last night. Did you watch the game?
I did not. Not at all.
Don't care.
Not even a little.
No. Steph didn't either. She was like, we're out Friday, we're out Saturday, and she's like, done people in. I'm done. We're hanging out. So she did watch the Puppy Bowl, though.
Well, that's the important one.
That was just cute. 855-752-4842. So the question then, when I got up this morning, instead of reviewing the headlines, Axios jumps out at me. I didn't believe it. I could not believe it. It seemed outrageous to me. 22.6 million employees will likely catch the Super Bowl flu.
That's a crazy number.
The what? I'm like, what? The Super Bowl flu, also known as Super Sick Monday, news to me, is poised to strike again, with the UKG Workforce Institute estimating that 22.6 million employees will miss work the Monday after the Chiefs and Eagles face off. That breaks the previous record of 18.1 million in 2003, also a Chiefs-Eagles matchup.
Ooh.
According to Axios, or the article here, this is how they break it down. 3.2 million will call in sick.
Okay.
3.2 will ghost their employer on Monday. What does that mean? I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to go anymore. Another 12.9 have already taken a pre-approved day off. Those are the responsible ones. Mm-hmm. I am not that. Here I am.
But no, you're here. You're even more responsible than
Very responsible. Another 4.8 million say they will swap shifts with coworkers so they don't have to work on Monday. An additional 12.9 million plan to go into work late Monday And 8 million are undecided.
Undecided.
I mean, it's a late game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that mm-hmm. late though. But let's see. The other side, there is a record number of absences expected. The survey shows an increased transparency among employees, people, managers, and the organization this year. Like they're done lying about it. Like, yeah, hey, just so you know, I'm gonna be sick. I feel cold.
It coming. I got a little tickle. I know it's coming on. I don't want to get it.
I feel like
sick.
I'm gonna be sick. Food poisoning is not Super Bowl flu, said my buddy Scott. Yeah, man. I ate the same stuff you did, though. I feel all right, man. 22 million people. Does that seem high to me? I mean, 22.6.
That's a lot of people.
And that doesn't go into those that are like slow walking it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm gonna come in late.
That's gonna be over 10% of the workforce.
Right. We're just gonna take a little. I'm just gonna be slower today. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read a little slower. I'm gonna mm-hmm. move a little slower. I'm drinking a lot of coffee to keep it going. 22.6 million people. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll get into callers. We see you. We will be getting to you in just a moment. I want to throw out a couple of the local topics here first. Stupid Chiefs.
Wisconsin. They did it just to spite you, Dom.
Of course they did. Well, it wasn't terrible to see them lose, considering you know who predicted them to win.
Right.
Yeah, the orange guy was rooting for the red team. Let's see, I guess ABC, WISN, the good WISN.com, Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, Brad Schimmel, said he's running an entirely different campaign compared to fellow conservative Daniel Kelly, who lost by 11 points to Janet Justice Protasiewicz 2 years ago. Yeah, isn't he using AI to change around of smiling Susan Crawford? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything about that.
So Schimmel and Crawford on the upfront. Again, that's an ABC outfit. You can check them out on the Sundays. They do a fine job interviewing some of the locals. And they got Schimmel and Susan Crawford this time around. So I haven't heard I've read the articles, haven't heard the song yet. Let's start with Schimmel.
Sure.
Schimmel, as mentioned in last week's show, Hagedorn has recused from the Act 10 lawsuit. Now, Justice Hagedorn worked for Scott Walker and was instrumental in making Act 10. Said he will recuse. Let's see what Schimmel had to say about that. Cut one, please.
There's a ton of big issues before the court and likely more to come. Justice Hagedorn recently announced he's going to recuse himself from the case involving Act 10. Did he make the right decision on that?
You know, only he can know that. There are certain circumstances where a judicial official must recuse. If you have a personal stake or your immediate family has a personal stake in this, like you stand to gain or lose money based on the outcome, you must recuse. Otherwise, it becomes a personal judgment call. Justice Hagedorn made that assessment and concluded that based on the history he has, he couldn't in this case. So I would say then, yes, it is the right decision. If you make that searching of your conscience and that's where you land, then yes, you should get out of the case.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Well, he didn't screw that one up. At least not that cut.
But should that... Is that not the softest of softballs to say this justice has already recused himself? Did he do the right thing?
No, hell no, he didn't do the right thing. If I get on the car, I'll
never
recuse
myself.
That's right. Brad Schimmel on the upfront, ABC at WISN.com. Check that out. Last week, as reported, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign filed an ethics complaint against Schimmel, accusing him of asking donors for money during private comments that were later made public. Nick Ramos, executive director of the same said Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, was on our show last week. We did get into that. Thank you, Nick, for your efforts. Let's hear. Schimmel was asked about this on the upfront. Let's play cut number two, please.
I want to quickly give you a chance to respond to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign complaint that they filed against you this past week. The Journal Sentinel published some comments. It sounds like you were talking to supporters, making some jokes about how you're asking for support. You said begging people, please consider getting involved or supporting my race. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says, well, you're breaking the judicial code by asking for money. Did you break the judicial code?
No, I wasn't making any solicitation that day, and I don't. I don't ask people for money. I'm not supposed to do that, and I don't. What I was doing was I was drawing the contrast between how money comes in. Because the Liberal candidate, they get in the race and there's a national fundraising machine that they flip the switch on and money comes pouring in. So I was drawing that comparison for people to understand how different the work is for us. But I didn't. I wasn't asking anybody to make the donations.
You were literally talking about getting your knee pads at Menards. You know, what are you talking? He said, I'm begging people for money. So the words that came out of your mouth, Judge Schimmel, are, you know, contrast what you're saying right there.
He was just begging people, please consider getting involved financially.
And if you tap out of your $20,000, you can just go give all that money, as much as you want, to the party, and they can direct it to me. Although you cannot force them to direct it, but, you know, you can give it to them as much as you want.
Right.
Yeah, well done. All right, what else? We got one more from Judge Schimmel on recusing from a case concerning abortion. Now, we heard this last week. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Schimmel, well, he says what? 1856, 1859, whatever.
1849.
Wow, thank you. That's fine. Totally fine. Totally constitutional. And if this Supreme Court, if it comes up and is ruled unconstitutional, well, that's hogwash. That's a problem. Would he recuse himself? I wonder. Cut number three, please.
There's another abortion case still in the pipeline. That one, they haven't had arguments on it yet, so that might still be lingering. I don't know. Those cases are all going to be out there.
And you would stay on the bench in that abortion case, the Planned Parenthood case?
There's no, you know, the United States Supreme Court put this decision, recognized that this decision belongs in the hands of the voters. And I respect the will of the voters.
Do you, though?
Well, then I look forward to him ruling in favor of bodily autonomy, because that is what the voters have said they wanted.
Certainly the polling does, but, you know, the voters, and again, he'll be up for election. It's coming up April.
April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Yep.
April 1st.
Nope. Let's not elect
vote,
a fool.
Don't vote for the fool. Vote for Susan Crawford. We're going to hear some sound of her next. Do we have any time for this?
Not in this
segment. All right. So, folks, stick around. Get to your calls as well. 855-752-4842. The Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice candidates on ABC's Upfront yesterday. Got a little more highlights from Susan Crawford. She's been on several of the shows here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can go to civicmedia.us and search for those podcasts. You want to hear more about Crawford on Upfront. She was there yesterday. We will play some of those highlights. And then the National Institutes of Health, another organization, a target from this administration. Well, they want to slash and burn the money. We know what's going on with the administration. Well, how does that impact Wisconsin? How does that impact the university? How does that impact you? We'll get into that next as well. And also, don't forget, we have our pal, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. Your calls could be next, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. When the choir starts singing and the kids are watching and the angels need a reason to pray. Well, I bet it gets lonely.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Super Sick Monday to all you, 22.6 million folks that skipped out one way or another after watching the Super Bowl last night. And real quick, before I move back into Judge Susan Crawford's interview at Upfront yesterday, when I read the like, wow, that's a lot of people up from 18 million from the year. Mm-hmm. And then I got on the road today. And the roads were empty,
yeah.
Right? It was like noticeable.
Uh-huh.
It was
absolutely.
It was so I guess I believe the study.
Yeah, I suppose so. Now, granted, I also do know a lot of people who genuinely have the flu right now, so I don't know how much that's playing into it.
Right.
And
actual
I have to imagine that there's actually, you know, quite a bit of the Super Bowl flu as well.
I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to go anymore. 855-752-4842. Judge Susan Crawford on the upfront. She's been on several of the shows here on the Civic Media Radio Network as well, being asked questions regarding recusal. A lot of recusals going on.
A lot of recusal questions in recent interviews.
Let's hear this question, her answer from upfront. Should Justice Protasiewicz recuse from Act 10? Cut number one, please.
Justice Hagedorn recently recused himself from the lawsuit involving Act 10.
Yeah.
Republicans are also asking Justice Protasiewicz to do the same. Do you think she should recuse herself from that case?
You know, I guess what I would say is that I expect Justice Protasiewicz to do exactly what the law requires in this situation, which is to closely look at the facts and the parties in the case and the legal issue that is being raised, and to apply the law as found in the judicial code, and to make her own determination about whether she believes she can be fair and impartial in that case. That's what I do when I'm asked to recuse from a case, or if I spot an issue in a case that I think might warrant some consideration of recusal. You know, I look at what the facts are and make a determination based on the law. And that's what I think she should do. And it's not my position or anybody else's to tell her how to reach that conclusion.
A similar answer, I guess, in some ways, to the question that Schimmel had regarding Hagedorn. What about Crawford herself? Would she recuse? Let's hear cut number two, please.
Would you recuse yourself from any cases involving Act 10?
I would engage in the analysis that I just mentioned. I think it's really important to do that on a case-by-case basis. And again, just to maintain impartiality, I would have to not make that decision until I had conducted that full analysis. So I'm not going to announce in advance how I would decide such issues. That's part of the decision-making process in a case.
Even though your firm, you used to work for represented teachers in a lawsuit looking to overturn it.
That's true, and that's work I'm proud of. I represented public school teachers in a legal challenge to Act 10. I was in court fighting for their rights in the workplace after the government took them away. Act 10, the public, I think, kind of tends to think of it as like one uniform thing. It was a 50-page long bill that changed many different provisions of the Wisconsin statutes. So if there were another case presented to me involving some part of Act 10, I would look at which part is being challenged there, who are the parties bringing that action, and is that a case that I can be fair and impartial on, a case where I have not previously taken a position on the specific issue being raised.
So she'll ponder it. Mm-hmm. I bet she's not getting out of that one. And the money in the race. We kind of gave Schimmel a pass on this when we played his quote. It was like, oh, you know, the Democratic machine. I was just letting them know when I asked about his begging, you know, his wearing of the knee pads from Menards to go out. And it was these recordings were released, and Wisconsin Democracy Campaign files an ethics complaint. And and Schimmel's, oh, no, I would never do that. I don't do that. I didn't do it that day. I never do it. I don't do that. But he did it. He said it. Now, he made it, may have been joking, whatever the case was. But he
interesting
talked,
joke.
Big joke, yeah. But he talks about the outside money. All the Dems, all you do is, you know, turn on the spigot. Well, come on, man. Yeah. Like the Republicans don't have the same thing. The money in the race was a question. A little bit longer cut here. Let's hear it. Cut number three here is Judge Crawford.
As you know, there's a ton of money being pumped into this campaign, and there will be over the next 7 weeks. Republicans recently have been criticizing you for attending a recent briefing with Democratic donors.
Yeah.
The subject of that invitation was chance to put two more House seats in play for 2026. Now that all of this is public, would you attend that same briefing again with donors?
Yeah, you know, for that particular group, there was a Zoom meeting. I entered that meeting, introduced myself, told the group a bit about the race. I did not comment on anything related to the congressional maps. That's not a topic I have commented on either publicly or privately in any sense. And then I left the meeting. And groups like that, organizations like that, have the issues that they care about, that they want to talk about amongst themselves. They have a First Amendment right to have those kinds of discussions on the issues they care about. It's not up to me to set their agenda.
Did you know that was the subject or the premise of the meeting before you entered it?
I don't believe I did. I hadn't seen the email, and I wasn't part of meeting at which they discussed that issue at all.
Republicans say that you're attempting to sell congressional seats to raise funds from Democratic billionaires.
It's ridiculous. It is an absolutely ridiculous assertion. And I told that group what I tell every group that I appear in front of, which is that I am pledging to be a fair and impartial justice.
Pledged to be a fair and impartial justice. You know, the Republicans are going to want to do everything they can to try and get her to recuse or get her to do something along those lines. Again, Crawford, just like Schimmel, are going to have to use their own judgment whatever process they have to determine those things. But again, given the circumstance, of especially when you compare it to someone like Schimmel, who talked multiple times about his knee pads and begging for money, her jumping on a Zoom after the fact. I mean, come on, talk about conspiracy theory. What she's selling congressional seats as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice candidate? How does that work? It's a whole different branch of government.
It doesn't
okay,
work.
Well, you know, the billionaires and
right.
Yeah, they should know something about the billionaires, those Republicans. They got one running their doji and, you know, president in waiting. Ugh. Musk. Anyway, we'll get to more, just a couple more of Judge Crawford on Upfront, WISN local ABC affiliate from yesterday, and also the National Institutes of Health. If Donald Trump is going to cut funding, how much do you think would be cut out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison? It's a lot. Come back. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Super Sick Monday, all you Super Bowlers out there calling in sick. 22.6 million roads are empty today. See the tumbleweed blowing around.
Hey, I appreciated the commute.
It was a little easier
today. Didn't have anyone riding up my butt.
855-752-4842. Wrapping up a little bit of sound, Judge Susan Crawford, one of the candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court Justice. That election starts, I guess, goes off April 1st. Coming up real quick, folks. If you haven't seen the attack ads, you're probably not watching television.
Correct.
We have a couple more cuts from Susan Crawford on her interview. ABC's Upfront over the weekend. Planned Parenthood endorsed her. Well, Planned Parenthood endorsed her. She defended the teachers against Act 10. I mean, I'm already down, man. Go, Susan. Let's hear what she had to say about Planned Parenthood. Cut number four, if you would, please, Jess.
Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin has endorsed your campaign.
Yes.
In the endorsement, they said that you've, quote, protected access to reproductive health care. Did you commit to them, or do you commit to them that you will do that as a justice?
Yeah, no, I did not. And I would never make any kind of promise to any organization like that to, you know, deliver some kind of result. At the same time, I am, you know, I'm proud of the work that I did as a lawyer. In our courts, fighting for people's rights, including Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors to protect their right to deliver health care services to women without having to be in fear of felony prosecution for doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, yeah. Judge Crawford. We appreciate that. Up front, they asked her, would she recuse herself on the abortion case? Cut number five, please.
You represented Planned Parenthood.
I did.
Do you think that you should recuse yourself from any case involving abortion?
I do not. I think that it is important in any case that comes before the court to make those determinations about whether I can be fair and impartial based on what the particular facts are, what the particular legal challenge might be in a case like that, and to make a decision based on whether I can be impartial in that particular case. The law does not require judges to automatically recuse just because they have done some kind of legal work in the past as a lawyer, but I am committed to only hearing cases and only sitting on cases where I believe I can be fair and impartial.
Once again, Judge Crawford on ABC's Upfront over the weekend. I believe we have one more cut from Susan Crawford regarding voter ID. Let's hear cut number six, please, Jess.
The state's voter ID law will also be before voters on the April 1st ballot. I'm curious, will you vote to enshrine the state's law into the Constitution?
You know, I am not going to say how I personally would vote because I don't want to influence other voters. I really think it's important that voters be able to make their own choices. And I'm a judge. I'm really not a politician. And it's not my place to tell voters how to vote on something like that. I think that voters should consider the fact that, you know, we need to have safe and secure elections, and we need a system where all qualified voters can exercise their right to cast a ballot and to make their own decisions about whether that provision should pass or not.
Judge Susan Crawford on ABC's Upfront over the weekend. Thank you, Judge Crawford. Thank you, Jess, splicing all that up and playing it for our audience. Mm-hmm. Played a little Schimmel earlier, folks. You know what to do. That's all I got to say. You know what to do. Voting on April 1st, the election. Early vote starts before that. 855-752-4842. All right, so that's the Wisconsin Supreme Court justice race. Now let's get back to some of the other issues that, you know, start out in Washington that end up impacting us right here.
Isn't that wild?
It's weird how that all works. Yeah. It started off for me. I saw the headline in Axios: 22 states sue to halt NIH research funding cuts. Attorneys general from 22 states sued the Trump administration Monday seeking to freeze a plan that would cap National Institutes of Health payments covering overhead at universities and medical research centers. You know, these guys are going after stuff. I'm like, really, this is now in our lingo. This is what we have to worry about now. But we'll get into some of the details on. Now, according to Axios, billions of dollars in cuts and in two new and existing grants could lead to layoffs, disrupt clinical trials, shutter laboratories, the state's charged in the U.S. District Court in Massachusetts. The state's charged the administration acted in arbitrary and capricious way by not explaining the basis for the cap. It also it said the move also violated a 2018 law governing NIH spending that forbade the federal health department or NIH from developing or implementing a modified approach reimbursing the so-called indirect costs for biomedical research. So then, of course, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Wisconsin. Oh yeah, Wisconsin's in there. Hope Carnop reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Oh yeah, we did. The University of Wisconsin Madison, one of the nation's top research institutions. Well, now if Trump gets his way with it, says the National Institutes of Health funding cuts will significantly disrupt vital research activity and delay life-saving discoveries and cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and more. 22 states, as mentioned, have filed a lawsuit. Now, previously, let's talk about the funding. Now, the NIH announced on Friday, that would cap funding for indirect costs, mainly facilities and administration, at 15% for new and existing research awards beginning Monday. Now, previously, that funding averaged about 30%, but some universities receive as much as 60% coverage of indirect costs. The NIH says the new rate is more in line with how private research foundations fund indirect costs. According to the court filings on Monday, the rate is 55.5% for UW-Madison, covering 26% of administrative costs and 29.5% of facility costs. UW-Madison would lose around, here's a number, folks, this is what it breaks down to, $65 million in funding this year.
Oh, jeez.
This year, according to the complaint, and result in a similar reduction in resources each year. $65 million.
Is that to UW total, or is that to UW School of Medicine and Madison. Public Health?
UW-Madison.
Okay, so that's to the school as a total or to their medical school specifically?
I would have to say to the school as a total because that's they don't specify. Okay. Yeah, at least in the journal here, Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop reported. Now, in a statement, the White House spokesman said, contrary to the hysteria, redirecting billions of allocated NIH spending away from administrative bloat means there will be more money and resources available for legitimate research, not less, quote unquote, legitimate research. The Trump administration is committed to slashing the cottage industry built off the waste, fraud, and abuse within our mammoth government while prioritizing the needs of everyday Americans. Are you sure about that? Now, the NIH funding is UW-Madison's largest source of federal support, the university said, and so-called indirect costs support many aspects of the educational research work of the university. That includes utility charges, building out research labs and infrastructure for clinical trials of new treatment, the university said. The reductions will have an inevitable impact on undergraduate and medical students' ability to engage in research. Medical innovation will be slowed, delaying the creation of new treatments, new technologies, and new health workers. A drastic reduction to this funding will not only disrupt the day-to-day important work of the university, but will ultimately harm the livelihoods of real people across Wisconsin and the country, harm the innovation economy, and will make our nation less competitive. In 2023, NIH provided $35 billion for more than 300,000 researchers at more than 2,500 universities, medical schools, and other research institutions. About $26 billion of that went to direct research costs. $9 billion supported indirect costs. Again, indirect costs being what? Building out laboratory, utility charges, infrastructure for clinical trials, and so forth. You kind of got to have all of that. You know what I'm saying? You got to have all of that. It's not just, you know, a Bunsen burner and a couple of test tubes.
You know, right. It takes a lot to have medicine work. There are a lot of hands involved. There are a lot of procedures involved. And yes, it takes significant administration. It takes significant organization.
In a statement, a Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin said, quote, Elon Musk and Donald Trump are finding every which way they can to cut programs and funding that Wisconsin families in Wisconsin rely on. Abruptly slashing this funding will mean people might not get the treatments they are relying on. Workers from custodians to research trainees to scientists are likely to be laid off and will be further away from finding the cures to diseases that plague all of our families. Other institutions, including the Medical College of Wisconsin, Marquette University, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Marshfield Clinic Research Institute will also be impacted by the NIH funding cuts, according to Senator Baldwin. Baldwin called the NIH's actions illegal, arguing the bill she helped write that funds the NIH, quote, explicitly prohibits NIH from taking this arbitrary action, as we referenced that in the Axios piece as well. Shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shocking they're doing something like
shocking.
That. Well, we have a law against that? We'll do it anyway. And we'll get to it. I mean, what if happens, and we'll get to this as well. Apparently, there's been some judgments, and the White House has not really been followed it a whole lot, or at least making excuses why they are not. Real impact here, folks. I mean, did you, if you're a Republican out there, if you're MAGA, did you vote for Donald Trump thinking he's going to slash the NIH?
Yeah. Is this what you voted for? Did you vote for research being slashed? Did you vote for cancer research, diabetes research, chronic illness research being cut and gutted?
And what, $65 million to the University of Wisconsin, I believe the article said. And that was just here in Wisconsin. Also, the Mayo Clinic, according to the Minnesota Reformer, they could lose $54 million.
And it's worth noting that in America, we have a severe physician shortage. We have a severe healthcare professional shortage. Is this how we fix that?
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And again, the money's already been allocated by Congress. They have a law that they're not supposed to do this. They can't impound the money. Mm-hmm. And they've made that law after Nixon. They also made a specific law, according to Senator Baldwin, that they can't play these games with the NIH. But they're going to do it anyway. And they're pushing all the buttons just to see what they can get away with. 855-752-4842. Let's go with Mark from the SAC. You're next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
As a cancer survivor who benefited from treatment I received at UW-Madison, their Carbone Cancer Center, and I don't know if it was the treatment I got was experimental, but I benefited from experimental treatments in the past, and I'm still here. I mean, in November of 19, they told me, well, if you've got 6 months, and here it's 5 years later, and I'm still around, and that cutting this kind of funding is just idiotic. I mean, the diseases we could cure and doing the research to cure, we've only found that out by spending gobs of money, but what is a life worth? I mean, I'm putting my FCC compliance.
Yeah, Mark, thank you.
But I mean, it's just ridiculous that these guys have more money than Crocius. They could never spend the amount of money they have. All it is putting a little bit, you know, a few more coins in their diving pool, like the old Scrooge McDuck thing, where in the cartoons where he was swimming through his pile of money.
I mean, yeah, you can't dive into piles of gold, though, because they're actually like rocks. It hurts. It doesn't work that way. Right, thank you for the call, Mark. Let's keep going. 855-752-4842. What? Andrew. We got Andrew. Andrew from Detroit. You're next. Welcome, Andrew. What do you got for us?
Hey, first of all, I'm so glad Mark from the SAC is still with us.
Yes, absolutely.
That is wonderful news. As far as Judge Crawford, she sounds like a wonderful jurist. If you have no use for her over there, we can use her over here.
You can't have her in a room.
My big deal here today is if these red hats want to continue thinking we're going to test the laws and we're going to break the laws where we want to, I think the blue states should say in response, we're not going to pay the taxes to the federal government anymore.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Andrew. We've got to get to a break here. I certainly appreciate it. There should be pushback. I don't know how that would actually work, just, you know, keeping your funds. But I think there's going to be some blowback. I talked to Meg Dawn earlier in the day. You know, there are red hats, as you called them, Andrew, are going to be impacted. And I think that some of these things are going to flow down to them. And they're not going to want the pain. And they're not going to want what this administration is doing. And I think Donald Trump was overreaching a little bit. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Your calls are next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Creep Show, 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. You folks lighting it up on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text there as well. Just a little bit more here. We talked about this NIH funding. They're going to be cut and capped on some of these costs at 15%. And we know that, as the reporting says, some of that's up to 50% coming to University of Madison. Lots of money. $65 million could be cut this year if this goes through to the University of Madison. Also referencing University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic as well. We talked about the Mayo Clinic losing about $54 million should this go in. But also the University of Minnesota lose around $62 million in funding. Now, according to the Minnesota Reformer, the NIH website lists more than 659 University of Minnesota projects funded by the grants fiscal year 2024, include research into organ transplants, elderly patients' ability to fight off infection, prevalence of blood cancers in Minnesota, Parkinson's disease treatments, treatments for certain types of cancer. Also, degenerative brain disease, breast cancer, osteoporosis, kidney disease, and diabetes. You know, the kind of things that we need to spend money on to try to cure, right? Mm-hmm.
Didn't Trump run on a partial platform of, you know, tackling chronic illness? I seem to remember that being slipped in there.
There was a word about that as well, but that was so long ago.
I know.
There's so many. So many promises, so little time. Yeah, he also said on day one, Ukraine war is going to end and the cost of eggs are going to come down. 855-752-4842. Susan, you are next. Welcome, Susan. What do you got for us?
Well, I was just going to mention that the UW-Madison actually was the organization through NIH grants that got the UW solution, which actually helps the preservation of organs. So they can be perfused and be used over long journeys. Back in the day, I worked in organ transplant procurement, and they used to only have a limited number of hours in order to transplant these organs.
Right.
But through the UW's research, they were able to do that. And the other thing is that so many babies are born with cardiac anomalies where either they don't live long after birth or they need they need immediate surgery. So anybody who is pro-life would not want to have those babies die just because they couldn't get the new research. They couldn't use the newest in the research regarding pediatric cardiac, you know, fixing the heart.
Sure.
So anyway,
yeah. Susan, I mean, so there's actual return on the investment, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's not just wasting money. And I know that's what they're trying to look at. They claim everything is a waste of money, but when you break it down, you know, how do you quantify? How do you gauge whether or not the money being spent by NIH is valued and getting a return or getting some sort of production out of? You know what I'm saying? I'd like to know that instead of just saying, "Hey, we're just going to cut this." And oh yeah, University of Madison, you're waxed by 65%. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. Hey, I'm sure there's government waste. I mean, in fact, there's known government waste. But to arbitrarily just go in and start hacking good programs, or go in with a sledgehammer and just start tearing all this stuff down without first looking at things. There's places to cut, I'm sure, but when you start talking healthcare and some of these good programs, it just doesn't make any sense. I've all but given up now on the Trump administration, by the way. I mean, I just don't see anything good becoming of it. But at any rate, my point is that look at programs. If there's waste, fine, but don't start slashing and burning good programs. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Wisco. And I mean, you got to go after big ticket items, right? What, got to bet big to win big, right, Wisco? But again, there's also going to be folks that are pushing back, and 22 attorneys general pushing back on this particular one again. The court's going to be really busy these next couple
really,
of
really, really busy.
Jack from Racine, you are next. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Thank you. Well, and let's remember that the reason for this pain, as he puts it, and it will be literally with the medical research hurt in our country, is that because he had a huge tax break for wealthy people of $3 trillion in 2017 that was supposed to sunset and end in 2025, but he wants to keep hold it over and continue it, and to reduce their taxes further for people who make over about $400,000 or $500,000 a year. And most of it goes to people who are in the top 1% or less. So that's why this is all happening. And Elon Musk wants another tax break.
Yeah, Jack, we have to remember why we got here, right? And certainly, listen, you can't go and try to reduce spending unless you look at some things. You know, I understand that. But it seems to me kind of arbitrary, and especially going after, like, the NIH. I mean, these are kind of longer-term investments. They take time. They're complex. You know, you don't want, you know, be able to go out and pull the money just because you don't like what the research might be doing, or you just see a big number on a spreadsheet. That's why we have this impoundment rule after Nixon. That's why we have this NIH law that Senator Baldwin apparently helped write that says they can't just do these things willy-nilly. If you go into an organization and say, oh yeah, University of Wisconsin, we're gonna take $65 million away. You're not going to get that this year. Mayo Clinic, 50-some million. U of Minnesota, another 60-some million. Yeah, that has a real impact on everything because those are big numbers. Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to get rid of research of, you know, cancer cures and Parkinson's? Folks, come back with us. 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We still have that, right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joins us next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.